Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is time for the Daily Dive for February 19th, 2024. So I got a tip. I turned it into a blind today, but the tip was much longer than the blind. And it's really interesting because I hadn't really thought a lot about it. But it's about Samantha Morton, who got a BAFTA fellowship. She's got a couple of Oscar nominations. And it says, hey, Auntie, just a few questions no one thinks to ask about Samantha Morton, née Jackson. The new BAFTA fellow makes a lot of use out of her childhood travails in foster homes and families. But why has she told so many versions, many conflicting, of her life story? Why was the woman she claims was her mother originally known as her stepmother before Samantha got famous? Why is there no birth certificate on file for Samantha? Why did she say she was in care from birth in a tweet, despite previously having said that she lived with her birth parents until age 3, sometimes age 6, sometimes age 8, sometimes age 11? Why did so many alleged family members tell so many different versions of her childhood to the media, which was duly noted by journalists? Why was a fake birth record planted on Ancestry UK? Why did the person who planted it not realize that Samantha Morton is a stage name, and that her alleged father's surname was actually Jackson, or that she was legally known as Samantha Brown as well? Why did she lie about how long she was debilitated by a stroke? Why was she spotted out partying with her friends all the time when she said she was stricken, as the British media had pointed out? Did she even have a stroke? Samantha turned down some pretty big roles during that period. How did she support herself as a working character actress and single mother? Why does she complain so much about NDAs? Why did she agree to a tiny part in the She Said film just to complain about NDAs? Why are there no pictures at all of Samantha and her alleged siblings, and only a few pictures of what were probably actually her foster parents, Peter Jackson and Pamela Millick? Why was there a flurry of stories about her probable foster parents when Samantha first got famous doing nude roles when she was a teen, but almost nothing since? How did Samantha, who was homeless, on drugs, pregnant, and a convicted criminal, land such plum gigs as soon as she showed up in London? Was she knocked up by her drama teacher, a much older man? Is her real father a very, very famous man in the UK? Who is her mother? Does she tell all these conflicting stories about her childhood in hopes that some curious journalist will do some actual research and discover who her real parents are, and thus help Samantha circumvent the NDAs she signed with them? After all, if some newspaper blows the whistle, it's out of her hands. Maybe you've heard some rumors about her, maybe not, but these are the questions worth asking. They certainly put a lot of time into the tips. Also spending a lot of time, Vanessa Williams, preparing for her role as Miranda Priestly. No, we're not going to have a Devil Wears Prada sequel. We are having the Devil Wears Prada heading to the West End. Vanessa Williams did play fashion magazine editor on Ugly Betty, so she's got it. New stage production. It's going to debut in London in October. Elton John doing the music and the lyrics. So, we don't know who Anne Hathaway's character is going to be yet or anything. We just have Vanessa Williams, which is probably enough to buy tickets. What wouldn't have been enough to buy tickets is if When Harry Met Sally had a bad ending, a tragic ending. And it almost did. Rob Reiner was on CNN talking to Chris Wallace about When Harry Met Sally. And he said that his initial plans for the movie involved them not ending up together. He said, do you want to hear something interesting about that movie? The original ending of the film that we had was that Harry and Sally didn't get together. And he said that because his own relationship had ended in divorce, the one with Penny Marshall, he didn't want to give the characters a happy ending. He said, I'd been single for 10 years and I couldn't figure out how I was ever going to be with anybody, and that feeling gave birth to When Harry Met Sally. I hadn't met anybody, so it was going to be the two of them seeing each other after years talking and then walking away from each other. But he said that his outlook changed after he met his current wife, in the midst of making the film. The two got married in 1989, the same year the movie came out. He said, I met my wife, Michelle, who I've now been married to for 35 years, while we were making the film, and I changed the ending. I mean, I think the studio probably made him change the ending. Nobody wants to go and just be depressed after they watch that movie, right? Now, there just wouldn't have been any ticket sales. And there aren't usually any book sales. unless you can come up with some kind of juicy story in a tell-all. But it needs to be something that's like, oh my gosh, I need to go buy this book. And Zoe Gregory, who is a former Playboy model, better known by her porn name, Penelope Taint, is talking about this relationship that she had with Justin Timberlake when he was dating Cameron Diaz. And according to Gregory, the incident occurred in the early stages of Timberlake and Diaz's relationship. So it would have been Timberlake was 25, Cameron was 34. And Gregory said that she and Justin hooked up, which would lead you to believe that they had sex. So she said they hooked up in the grotto of the Playboy Mansion. And it's in her book, From Britain to Bunny. And it talks about her journey from the UK to the Playboy Mansion. First of all, they didn't actually have sex. They got a little bit naked and they groped each other. Okay? And he dated Cameron 20 years ago. Both are married with kids. Nobody cares. It is a pretty lame story to try and sell your book on. It just is. What's the interest in that? Now, there is a lot of interest in Brian Peck. I've done multiple episodes on Brian Peck. Go hit the search bar. You can listen to them all. But on Pod Meets World today, they talked about Brian Peck. And you had Danielle Fischel, Ryder Strong, Will Friedle, and they were joined by a therapist, Katie Morton. And they talked about Brian Peck. He was a season 5 guest star on Boy Meets World. And in this, they talk about grooming, childhood sexual abuse. And it talks about Danielle saying, hey, we all agreed that we're going to talk about our experiences. And Friedle and Strong were contacted for the Quiet on Set docuseries. So they decided, hey, you know what, let's talk about it on here. And in 2004, 4 years after Boy Meets World, Peck was convicted of sexually abusing an unknown Nickelodeon child actor. Like I said, I've talked about him on here before multiple times. He went to jail for 1.5 years, and he was charged with 8 counts of sexual abuse. And Friedle said, hey, I became close with Peck right when he joined the show. I didn't really go to parties. I really didn't do that stuff, but I was working a lot after Boy Meets World. And this guy had so ingratiated himself into my life, I took him to 3 shows after Boy Meets World. This was the type of thing where the person he presented was this great, funny guy who was really good at his job and you wanted to hang out with. I saw him every day, hung out with him every day, talked to him every day. And I mean, that's what they did. And Strong said he hung out with him all the time outside of work, too. But don't forget, Peck was 20 years older than these guys. And they said all the years of having stand-ins, no one ever, do I remember, regularly went to lunch with the cast members, but this person did. And part of that's because when they arrived on set, they were extremely charming. They were very personable. They had a lot of jokes. They also, because of their many years of experience working in the entertainment industry, knew other very successful famous kids and young men and regularly talked about them. Plus, Brian Peck was gay. And the cast members were like, well, we can't really, you know, we don't care, but the other adults on the set, you shouldn't be hanging around this guy and not make it because he's gay, but just this guy's 20 years older than you. Why is he going to Ryder's house for a party? It's a boundary about adults and kids. And when Peck was accused in 2003, he called Friedel and was crying while instantly spinning it to where it wasn't his fault. It was clearly the fault of his victim. And Friedel believed him. So my instinct initially was, my friend, this can't be. It's got to be the other person's fault. And Friedel had just finished filming a movie playing a role that Peck had got him. And just like in the Danny Masterson case, they went to bat for him at court. That's what they did. And they said, we're sitting in that courtroom on the wrong side of everything. The victim's mother turned and said, look at all the famous people you brought with you. And it doesn't change what you did to my kid. And Friedel said, I just sat there wanting to die. I was like, what the hell am I doing here? And they wrote letters to the judge in support of Peck. And Strong said that Peck used to be called the Forrest Gump of Hollywood because he knew everybody. It would name drop all the time. And he ran into him again 7 years ago. He said, I went to a party and he was there. It was one of the most intense experiences in my life because I saw him. I hadn't seen him in years, and he immediately started talking to me as old friends or whatever. It felt like an out-of-body experience where I'm having a conversation with him, and I was finally able to hear the name dropping. All these names, and suddenly I could see this constellation, this web that this person was laying. The story that he was telling me was nonsense, but he was letting me know was that he was with famous people who validate him and put him in a category of Hollywood royalty. He did that constantly when we were on the set of Boy Meets World, and I never saw it because it was so effortless. Oh, I mean, that's crazy. Also crazy is Ezra Miller. Can we just say that he probably is crazy? They are crazy. If I accidentally say he, I apologize. But Ezra is now out of hiding. Back on social media. With the Native American girl they kidnapped back in 2016. Her name's Takata. She's now 20 years old. They met when she was 12 and Ezra was 23. And there's pictures of her. And her eyes, she looks so dead. And her parents have no contact with her. And according to a former resident of Ezra's farm in Vermont, Ezra believed that people criticized their relationship with Iron Eyes because she's a Native American spider goddess who, along with Miller as Jesus Christ, will bring about an indigenous revolution. Miller refers to themselves as a messiah to Native Americans. And the family tried to get a protective order. I mean, they got one, but the problem is that at the time they got it, she was 18, but she met Ezra when she was 12. This is not going to turn out well at all. And the fact that he's like out there on social media just flaunting it, where everybody's going to say, hey, you were 23, she was 12. It's awful. Kind of like Madam Web. One of the lowest starts in Hollywood history for a film based on a Marvel character. Domestic box office for the first 6 days in North America was just $26.2 million. International got $25.7 million. Cinema score grade, which is usually fan-friendly, C+. Extremely low for a superhero title. Sony's going to have to do something because it's just not going to work anymore. I think superhero movies are kind of done. You have to start this whole thing over and reboot. Or maybe don't make superhero movies for a few years. Now, I don't know if they're one of my favorite tipsters, but they have such a fascination with the guy from Maneskin, Damiano David, and Dove Cameron, and they just send me this stuff all the time. And sometimes I make a blind out of it, but oftentimes I just want to read it here. A lighthearted update on the fresh, and English is not their first language. A lighthearted update on the fresh, rocky launching of the relationship between the untrustworthy Italian Gen Z rock star and the desperate ex-Disney star on her way downhill. A pap walk failed at a Target parking lot because fans had filmed her, makeup artist and team, making it look too staged. Front row at the Lakers game a few days later was a more successful photo op published just in time for Valentine's Day. The rock star, however, was livid about the styling of her team after some publications branded his all Gucci look as grandpa core. While she was upset about the majority of online comments focusing on her failed plastic surgery and their unconvincing chemistry. Although she has been launching him in every recent social media post, he didn't return the favor this week in his first Instagram post in over 2 months, causing a serious fight with her team. She ignored it. Then yesterday, a classic Universal Park walk was organized, cringe given that the rock star has extreme fear of heights and hates theme parks. They thought she'd be recognized, but no one paid interest, so they had to do the exact hand-in-hand walk 3 times over before anyone noticed at all. She's quickly losing her fame, and with her current cosmetic and drug habits, I don't know about that, that's likely not improving. All lighthearted funny fails this week, but what's less funny is that her team thinks she's not stable enough for her upcoming performances in South America next month. She desperately needs those gigs, but all the angel dust in the world doesn't manage to keep her focused. As of today, they still haven't found someone to travel with her yet. She's sweet to fans, but rude, unstable, and difficult to work with, so no one wants to babysit her on tour. The rock star is heavily complaining about her crumbling career not giving him the visibility that was promised, but since he is extremely popular in that region, they will sure want him on board as well. Meanwhile, he'd rather go for a mommy, as his recent post also indicated, than be a babysitter. One of the women he regularly sleeps with is a well-known 20 years older Italian techno DJ that announced she will visit him in LA this week. All but one of the women he's sleeping around with are much older BDSM lovers, including the European one he was visiting in New York last month. In conclusion, funny fails, but they're both sad news. His label CEO is weirdly invested in this showmance, and that gives me the creeps. But that could be my bias since I worked with the man years ago when he pressured a famous Swedish DJ into a mental breakdown, contributing to his death some years later. Something too many forgot about too fast in case you want to dig up the past. I'm talking about like Avicii, are we? I mean, now I'm going to have to look this up for tomorrow. Definitely now. And I try to bring up, you know, stories. Yesterday we had the Lifesaver, which is a really good story. This one's a lot more sad. But an elderly woman was scammed out over $1 million, according to her son. She fell into this common romance scam. Donna Kendall from Hilton Head, South Carolina, became lonely after her husband Jerry got dementia in 2022, while her son was far away in Atlanta. As a result, she turned to the internet to connect with others, but instead of finding companionship, it led to her financial downfall and a broken relationship with her son. According to her son, it was not until he was contacted by his mom's bank that he became aware that she was being conned. The bank told him that she had made 5 wire transfers that totaled about $170,000. When he confronted his mom about the payments, she defended her decision by saying she was in a relationship with the person. And the son's like, I'm saying, who is this person? And she said, well, I've been meaning to tell you about that. She says, I've met someone and it's just complicated. She had met a man who went by the name Martin Erickson online. He claimed to be a wealthy businessman in Japan who needed $120,000 to ship a $2 million machine back to the United States. And the woman's relationship with the scammer continued for months with text messages back and forth revealing manipulative text messages. And the son said, you could not convince her that this person she was talking to was not a real person. He got his mom seen by specialists, believing that she had lost her cognitive abilities. But he was told by a psychiatrist, there's nothing I can do. Mentally, there's nothing wrong with her. She's just making bad decisions. Conversations with deputies and attorneys also proved fruitless for the son. Feeling helpless, he ended up cutting off contact with his mom after she was forced to sell her home and move into a hotel. She went from a $1.5 million home to an extended stay hotel. He did not see his mom again. He got a call in September informing him that she had died at the hotel. He said, just going to have to remember the better times because the last 2 years were not things I want to remember. Well, things I like to remember is old gossip. And we've done 2007, 8, 9 in February. Let's do some February 2010. This is what I wrote on February 17th, 2010. I usually avoid writing anything about any of the cast of The Hills. However, when they're wasted during the Super Bowl and asking everyone for Coke, I make an exception. According to the newest issue of Us Weekly, and this is the last time they really did any dirt, Christina Cavallari spent the entirety of her time in Miami at the Super Bowl wasted and on the hunt for Coke. Hopefully she doesn't have a huge habit because that Hills money won't last long. And then she'll be doing personal appearances the rest of her life and talking about how she wasted all her money on Coke. Also, the article said that she had given up on showering. Oh, my goodness. That's quite the story. I honestly, I hadn't thought about this in a while, which is, again, why we do old gossip. But do you guys remember when Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler were a couple? And there was a story that came out in February 2010 who said that Jennifer wasn't worried about a relationship with Gerard Butler and is just enjoying the sex. In past relationships, she was always so stressed and focused on where it was going and how long they'd be together and whether they were exclusive. But with Gerard, she decided to enjoy it and not have any expectations. She says the sex is amazing. They have great chemistry across the board, sexually and intellectually. And I wrote, well, sure. Because all relationships based on sex spend the rest of the time discussing important intellectual issues of the day. I'm sure the topics range from the Taliban to how to handle the paparazzi and who has the best sushi in L.A. Honestly, if she's happy just having a relationship based on sex, then as long as I don't have to read about it every day, I'm happy for her. over the years of gossip, let's see, we've had exhaustion is probably the old school go-to for going to rehab. We had a dehydration one, right, that we did earlier this week. And now, like I said, everybody just makes up some fake disease. But back in February of 2010, we had a star go to rehab for anxiety. Yes, Gina Phillips. And we are going to get to the Phillips thing this week. I have another episode of that. And I was working on an episode today, and I can't quite get the angle. It was going to be, this is, sounds really weird, the Amish as CIA assassins. I know. And then diving into like the cult of the Amish and talking about the origins of it and going back to this German uprising in the 1500s where it turned into one big months-long orgy and polygamy and beheadings. But I still got to get the angle. But that's also coming up. But rehab for anxiety, that's where I was. And I wrote about this February 15th, 2010. I remember the days when I was a kid, there wasn't even rehab. What you did was, if you had a booze or drug problem and wanted to stop, was you'd go find some motel, check in for a month, and lock yourself in until you were dried out. Then Betty Ford came along and changed all of that. Instead of paying $20 a day at a no-tell motel, you could pay Betty $20 a minute for your drug and alcohol drying out needs. Of course, she did provide meals, which was a big improvement on ordering pizza or eating motel vending machine candy. At least, though, you could see the similarities between Betty's rehab and the original. I don't even recognize rehab anymore or even understand it. Gina Phillips entered rehab over the weekend. Why? Well, according to her publicist, it has nothing to do with drugs, nothing to do with alcohol. And it's just about anxiety and trying to get rid of the stresses in her life. Now, granted, Gina probably has her share of stress. Being Mackenzie Phillips' half-sister will do that to you. Getting crank phone calls from your in-law Baldwin brothers. By the way, did you know that Alec and Hilaria have only been together 13 years? I feel like it's 50. Like, they're having kids, like, constantly. That blows my mind. But getting crank phone calls from your in-law Baldwin brothers would also probably cause some stress. But is the rehab the place to go? To me, you need a vacation, someplace tropical where you get drinks brought to you and your stress melts away. So forgive me if I don't buy the story about why she's in rehab. Also, I find it funny that she made an announcement. I think she could have gone for a year and none of us would have noticed. You don't get a People magazine cover story, though, unless someone notices. So you make an announcement. Now, the kind of announcements you don't usually like are when some women are talking about the size of your member. And back in February 2010, on Valentine's Day, people were talking about John Gosselin and the size of his manhood. In the week prior to this, Haley Glassman, now Haley Glassman PR, spouted off about the size of John Gosselin's manhood. And she used phrases such as small as she's ever seen and that she often couldn't find it. Well, no guy likes to hear that, but he could have been hung like Dirk Diggler and Haley wasn't going to say nice things about him. Over the weekend, it emerged that Kate Gosselin had a nickname for John Gosselin's peen. She called it stubby. Not good at all. Kind of makes you think of one of those eraser tips you put on your pencil. Not exactly flattering. Finally, the tabloids have tracked down Kate Major and said, I'm surprised he's so cocky because down there, he's not. Wow. The trifecta of women laughing you about your penis size. It isn't like he deserves people being nice to him, though. Every once in a while, when I'm doing this, going back, I go, oh my goodness. That's gossip. Like actual real gossip. Like even the Kristen Cavallari doing coke at the Super Bowl. I mean, that's gossip. But sometimes it's just kind of like next level. And you just wish for those kind of days. And when I go back and I look at all the things that I've written, and then you get something like this, you go, that's gossip. February 13th, 2010. I've always loved Jeff Goldblum. Now not so much. Star Magazine is reporting that while Riel and John Edwards were getting it on, Riel was also in a relationship with Jeff Goldblum. Yes, that Jeff Goldblum. I don't know what he saw in Riel Hunter, but apparently it was the same thing that John Edwards saw. I do wonder if there's a sex tape of Jeff and Riel. Do you think he takes off his glasses during sex? Anyway, Star goes on to say that Riel even led Jeff to believe at one point that he was the father of the baby. I know. Jeff assumed it was his baby because he didn't know Riel was also sleeping with John Edwards. And when Jeff found out the baby wasn't his, he broke up with her. In Starr's sister magazine, The Enquirer is reporting this week that John Edwards has asked Riel to marry him. Edwards says it's all untrue. He also said that he never had sex with Riel and the baby wasn't his. And Jeff Goldblum and Riel met in 2006 at the Playhouse West Acting School in North Hollywood, where Jeff taught at the time. And Jeff said he was in love. I mean, that is the weirdest love triangle, not ever. But I mean, it's right up there. Oh. Okay, the blind items revealed for the weekend and today, Saturday. The first one was from February 10th, 2024. Speaking of bad decisions by movie studios, the Mouse House already signed this A-list actor to reprise his role and are going to have to pay him, but for some reason want the cooking show actress to replace him. Johnny Depp, Jack Sparrow, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Ayo Adebiri. Number two. February 10th, 2024. Even after everyone in the world said they wanted a certain movie released, it is still being held up. The days of this studio head are numbered. Coyote versus Acme and Warner Brothers. Number three was from February 10th. You know the relationship between the former studio head and fashion designer? That one's more believable than the rapper and the talk show host. That's Barry Diller, Diane von Furstenberg, Meek Mill, and Gayle King. Number four was from February 9th. When a family member concedes that a feature that people continue to pay for doesn't work, and probably won't work for a long time, then you really do have a problem. And that's Elon Musk's brother, Kimball Musk, and Tesla Full Self-Driving. Sunday, number one was from February 11th. Detectives say the evidence doesn't support what this A-minus list actor said about recent events at her home. That's Jada Pinkett Smith. Number two was from February 11th. When you see unfiltered photos of this former A-minus list singer slash actress slash reality star turned business person, the same week you see a photo for an ad campaign in which she starred and you realize just how much work she's done to her face and that it was just far too much. And that is Jessica Simpson. Number three was from February 11th. This A-minus list singer-songwriter with the repeating first name came to a Vegas party last night drunk, drank some more, threw it all up, and drank even more. She knows how to party. And that's Bebe Rexha. Number four was from February 11th. The former A-minus list singing actress who is now a Christmas staple isn't going to hide her pregnancy until her due date. She's trying to sign a deal for some clothes to wear first. And that's Vanessa Hudgens. The ones from today, number one is from February 12th. When the internet collectively goes after you the entire first half of the Super Bowl because you have left the muse down below you, what do you do? Make sure there's a picture of you with her in your box by the middle of the third quarter. And that's Taylor Swift and Lana Del Rey. Number two is from February 12th. The recent post from the A-list singer and stuff from her dog was poop. Just shows that she's not entirely in charge of that social media account of hers. And that's Britney Spears. And by the way, speaking of Britney Spears, although I do it every Saturday, I'm going to do probably on the Daily Dive at some point this week. I guess maybe tomorrow or the next day. I've talked about probate notes before. And there's a big hearing, supposedly. This is where it's kind of crazy. On the internet, a lot of the people from Free Britney say there's going to be a hearing on the 22nd or 3rd, Thursday or Friday. And it's basically talking about Rosengart let Lou Taylor off the hook and is not going to be deposed. And that Britney's going to end up having to pay millions of dollars. So that doesn't show in the calendar the hearing for this week. And they still have trial dates and everything scheduled. But if there is a hearing, there will be probate notes, and we'll be able to tell a lot more from the probate notes. So just look out for that. Number three, from February 12th. You remember the political donor who killed all the men at his house? Yeah, apparently someone tried to kill him in jail, and not just because he's an awful human. Secrets, maybe? And that's Ed Buck. Number four was from February 12th. Even throughout rehearsals, things were not that great with the halftime show, which is why literally up to about 2 hours before game time, the North of the Border singer was being asked if he would be willing to do a guest appearance. That's Usher and Justin Bieber. And number five was from February 12th. The illiterate one reached out to this former A-plus list athlete to see if she wanted to join them up north this week. Not a chance. Totally rebuffed. I think they also wanted to use the family jet, too, which was the main reason. It's tough to go raise money and have people give when you're spending a bunch of money you could be donating on a private jet. And that is Meghan Markle and Serena Williams. And that is it for this one. I will talk to you guys